Praise God. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Well, we've been talking for a few weeks, something we've titled, Think on These Things. And we're going to review a few things really quickly. We don't have time to re-preach everything. But just, I put several of the scriptures that we've gone over before on your scripture sheet, so we can just touch on a few of them, and they're there for your reference. I put some definitions on the sheet just so that you had them. Well, let's look at your sheet for a moment, and then we'll open our Bibles too. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We read the New Living Translation. It says, "Fix your thoughts on these things." Think about things that qualify or that pass this filter. That's where our mind should be. And we've talked about focusing, especially as we came in, first Sunday of 2014, as we come into this year, focusing on what God has for us and on His Word, and keeping our thoughts there, because things are going to try to pull them off. They always do. We live in a fallen world. Life is not perfect here. Jesus said as much, but He said we'd have the victory in everything. Part of the battle is keeping our minds where our minds need to be. And so we've talked about that. Part of that, we read 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Casting down arguments, things that would come up and exalt itself against God, what He's told you, what His Word says, that we would cast them down. You can just imagine, you're going through, just knocking things down, knocking it down. It comes at you, you're knocking it down. Just keeping your mind where it needs to be all the time. We read the Amplified Bible, puts it a little, we're giving these to you to go back to and to give you some context. I encourage you to go back and listen to these messages, because they each focus on something a little bit different. And it's been really good. Verse 3, "For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons." We have to just stay conscious of the fact that what you see is not all there is. The more conscious of that you are, you're going to behave differently. If all you think there is what you can see, feel, touch, taste, hear, you're going to act differently than if you realize that we're just walking through this realm, but there is a different realm. That's right. There is a spiritual realm. That's right. And if we don't, I mean, we believe that because we can't see the Lord. Everything that we believe is hinged on the fact that there are things that we can't see. That's what believing is. And so if we go through and think, oh, well, this is just happening because of natural circumstances, we have to realize there is an enemy that's trying to destroy you and your family. He cannot, if you're a Christian, unless you let him. That's right. But he will attempt, and he is a deceiver. We're going to touch on that in a minute. He's a master of illusion. You want to talk about that? He's the father of it. He creates circumstances and things and makes it look a certain way. He'll have somebody say something to you. You realize he prompts people. He can throw thoughts at you, but especially people that aren't born again, aren't Christians. He'll throw a thought their way, say this, and a lot of them yield. They don't have to, but somebody at work or somebody you know, they have a thought and they say it to you. You're like, where did that come from? That just knocked me exactly what I'm going through right now. You say, well, that was just, how did they know that? Oh, well, just dismiss it. We're not saying there's a devil behind every doorknob, but just don't discount it either. We are in a war, and the enemy is trying to push you off. Make no mistake. He's trying to destroy you now. That's what he does. And he does a lot of it by illusion, by deception. It's not to say things aren't real. That in the world we don't deny reality, but he tries to make things look, and he is the God of this world. He has power over certain things, and he can make things look a certain way. So where you're believing God and going in a certain way, but you look at the circumstances and say, I don't see how this possibly can come to pass, don't look at the circumstances. Because the circumstances can lie, and there is a God of this world that has control over the circumstances. We touched on this a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, but we're not led by fleeces in the New Testament. Yes, there was a certain place in the Old Testament where they say, I'm going to put out a fleece. And if it's wet, and if it's dry, and all this stuff, we're not to be led like that. Those people, we're spiritually dead. They did not have the Spirit of the living God inside of them. We're not to do what Old Testament people were doing. We're told, let's just turn over there. I wasn't going to go this way, but let's just turn over here. Romans 8. We'll just touch on this. So you have some scripture. Romans 8, verse 14. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 14. That's why we need a Bible. Not everything is on the sheet. And it's good to look at your Bibles. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I like that. The sons and daughters, that's a generic term, ladies. The sons and daughters, we're the children of God. What does it say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, or Daddy, Father. Daddy, Daddy. He's our Daddy. Amen. Amen. Yes, He is God Almighty. We reverence Him, but He's also Daddy. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to have Him for a Daddy? Yeah, really. Glory to God. Who's your Daddy? Lord God Almighty. Oh, yeah. He's not limited in any way. My Daddy has lots of resources. I just do what He tells me to do. He takes care of me. Amen? Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, how does He do it? He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're a son of God, you're led by His Spirit. How's He going to lead you? The same way He bears witness with your spirit that you're children, that's how He leads you in the majority of time. He's going to bear witness with your heart. What does that mean practically? Just seems good. Just seems good. You think about going a certain way. You're trying to make a decision. Do this. Think about going the one way and just see what happens on the inside. What you get. I'm not talking about your stomach, your heart. I'm talking about in the inside. It's spiritually discerned. That's why we get, the more we read the Word, the more we walk with God, you get to where you're looking at your spirit instead of things out here. We didn't say look at your head. Well, this looks good. No. You can be deceived. Ask any number of businessmen things that looked good and were failures. And then how many people have invested in certain things that nobody saw coming? But boom, don't you wish you had stock on certain companies that started when nobody saw it? We can't just go by natural. That's just in the natural. God knows all. And so when you're thinking about, well, should I go this way or this way? Think about this way and say, how do I feel inside? And I've said this many times. You all that have been here a long time have heard me say this. There's a lady named Dixie that worked at Rhema in the children's department. She was just great with kids. And she had this great illustration. She had this glove. And on it, she had one glove. It was fuzzy. It was velvet. And she would tell the kids, and she would have them feel it, and she would put it out, and they would touch it, and ooh, soft, it was really nice. And she said, when the Holy Spirit's leading you, that's the way it feels on the inside. Velvety, just like, warm. Yes, your insides are, yes, that's the way I need to go, right there, yes. And then she had another glove. And she put sandpaper or something on it, was really scratchy. And she asked the kids to feel it, and they, ooh, it's scratchy. She said, when God's telling you to stop, and that's not the way, that's the way it feels on the inside. Just like, yeah. No, I don't want to go that way. Satan can't counterfeit that. If you think of going this way and you think, and your head is going, what? I don't understand it. But inside, you're going, your spirit is going, let's go. Go that way. On the other hand, you look at it and your head's going, this is perfect. I see this. But inside, scratchy, no. The more you think about it, no. Your head's going, oh, looks clear. Inside, no. You listen to your spirit. Because the enemy cannot counterfeit that. He's a deceiver. He can make things look all kinds of ways out here. Can bring somebody to you and say, this person is the one you ought to marry. Look at them. They look perfect. You don't know what that person's going to be like down the road. This job is the way you should go. And it's not. I'm not saying everything is motivated by the devil. I'm just saying there are circumstances that can be manipulated. We don't go by our heads. On the other hand, you could look at something and go, what? There's nothing here. Why would I ever go that way? And inside, you're just like, yes, go there. And you're looking, going, desert. Nothing. What? This job? I tell you what, I had a job, my first job. It was a good job, but I was an intern in the summer of, started in February 1996, and I was an intern at a company. I really thought I was an intern at a different company, and then I saw this, and I thought, that's really, I should apply there. And I applied, and I didn't hear anything. And then like two, three months later, they called me out of the blue and said, hey, you want to come in for an interview? Okay, went in for an interview. And it went really well, and they offered me the job on the spot. And I said, well, I got to get out of this other job. You know, I'm a software engineer. Computer engineering is my degree. I work as a software engineering manager now. And I thought, well, you know, I got to get out of this other job, but this is where I feel like I should go. Well, I worked out that internship, and then they offered me a job as, you know, full-time. And I had job offers from somewhere, you know, a company in Arizona. Looks pretty good today, but, you know, they're 300 days of the year sometimes. I tell you what, the rocks there, they don't have lawns in half the place. It's just rock. That just doesn't seem right to me. But not knocking Arizona, it's just different. But I could have gone there and worked. There's another place in Minnesota I was going to, you know, interview with. And I had another job in Omaha. But I had this offer, and it seemed good for me to take that. And I'll tell you what, I worked with that company for one way or another, you know, until 2008, even when I was out here, I was still working for them in one way or another. And I didn't know all that. I didn't know I was going to be in Boston, Massachusetts, and that I'd be working, still working with them. I didn't know that, but God knew. But I could have got and said, well, this company's bigger. I'm going to go and go with this offer into Arizona and go do that. I would have missed it. And I prayed about it. I remember in my little apartment, 210, M Street, 1824 M Street, apartment 210. I'm sitting there, this little apartment, walking around and praying about what I should do, just praying in tongues. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. Just start praying in tongues. Just was walking around praying in tongues. God, what do I do about this? And after I got done, I was like, I know what to do. I'm supposed to go work for that company. I'm supposed to take this job. And so I did. Always be led by your spirit and not your head. Always. God will lead you by bearing witness with you on the inside, and you don't have to worry about the circumstances. You just, all you need to know is that I've heard from the Lord. I've heard from Him. And then you go forward regardless of the circumstance. You hook into what He's told you to do, and come hell or high water, I'm staying here, and you don't get moved by circumstances, you don't get moved by thoughts, you cast down the things that are false, and you go forward. Hallelujah. So we read that. We were in 2 Corinthians, looking on your sheet there. This is supposed to be 5-minute review, but we just went that way. I believe that's where we're supposed to go. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Weapons of flesh and blood. So many people are fighting in the flesh and attacking people. People are not your problem. You may say, you don't know the person I'm dealing with. No, people are not your problem. The Bible said it. I'm not saying people don't become a problem, but they're not the root of the problem. There's something behind things. Deal on a different level. The more we come aware of this, we won't be hoodwinked. We'll look past certain things. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, talking about in your mind. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We need to be on guard when thoughts come at your head. You need to be conscious of what is coming across your mind. And if it doesn't line up, get rid of it now. Don't play with thoughts that are counter to the Word of God, because the enemy is constantly at work trying to build strongholds in your head. And he is very patient. He'll work on something for years. So don't entertain, if you're conscious that that's not right, don't sit there and turn it over in your head and say, well, I know this is wrong, but, and just turn it over and think about it. Don't mess with it. Shut it down. Get it out. Say, that's not of God. I'm not going to do that. You say, that's hard, but God's grace is sufficient. We can do it. Otherwise, he's unjust. He said we can do it. We need to act on it, because those things are trying to destroy us, trying to get us off the plan of God. We need to be very conscious and refute these arguments, theories, reasonings. Well, I don't know. Are you sure about that? Be very careful of these reasonings and theories. And, well, you sure you have a good enough plan? And, well, I don't know if that's really going to work out. Just know, did God tell you what to do? And did God say in his word, or did he tell you personally? And then you stick to that and let God give you the plans that he needs to give you. Sometimes we get into men's plans and we start reading people that are reasoning. And you have to be careful, because there's a lot of Christians that are totally into reasoning now. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. In our church services, they've thrown a lot of stuff out and said, it's just going to go this, 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 this. And it's men's reasoning. And it's trying to be like the world. We can use things that are in the world. Thank God for technology. But it doesn't take the place of the Spirit of the living God. They're things to augment. People have gotten a reason. Well, you have to do it this way. No, we don't. Don't look in, if you're dealing with your family, the reasoning is saying, well, we found that it's this way and that way, and you should do this. If it disagrees with the Word of God, throw it out. Because people have come up with all kinds of theories, and they're wrong because they redo them all the time. This is bad for you to eat. Oh, wait, it's good for you to eat. Wait, no, it's bad for you to eat. And depending on what decade you live in, you grew up thinking that's bad. Next generation thinks, oh, it's good. I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying don't put your trust in men's wisdom. Be led by God. Be led by him. Don't get into theories and reasonings and I just don't know. And what do you think about that? Okay, what do you think? It's okay to ask for counsel, but don't get off into trying to reason with people to where you get a consensus to where you think everybody agrees with you, then it must be God. That doesn't mean it's God. It's a big consensus when the Israelites didn't go in the promised land. Everybody but Joshua and Caleb were saying, we're not going. Consensus, dead wrong. They all died. They all died in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, they went in. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe God's leading us. Real quick. Revelation 12 on your sheet. We read this, but just read verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. The angels were cast out with him. We talked about this, and we've talked about, just in this last few minutes, about him being the deceiver. He is the deceiver. He's the serpent of old. He deceives. And we read this. I put them on your sheet this week, just so you have them. I've already gone over them several times. But Strong says to deceive means to properly cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to go astray, to deceive, err, seduce, wander, be out of the way. Vine says to deceive by leading into error or to seduce. Webster's one definition says to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. In other words, to cause to think on things that aren't true. To get you to think on something that's false. Get you to think on something that is really a fabrication. That's to deceive. You think something's true, but really it doesn't hold any water. And this is what the enemy does. So we have all deception to a degree in our lives. That's not a bad confession. All of us have some amount of, because we grew up a certain way, because we heard certain things taught, because for whatever reason, we don't see completely perfect. We're coming up every day. We're coming up higher every day. But the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened as we walk with Him. Amen. Are you with me? I'm not saying this is not a negative confession. This is fact. Does anybody in here see as the Lord Jesus sees? Would you be so bold as to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I see perfectly. I know all. No? No, we are, this is not to discount the Word. We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us, but we're renewing, and this is where we're renewing our mind to be in line. Turn over to, let's just go down. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4:7. It's really where I wanted to get to today and the focus of today. I want, just before we go, let's see. Yeah, let's read this, and then we'll talk a little further. Verse 17, everybody there, Ephesians 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now notice, this is loaded. Notice these phrases. "In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Yeah. Notice what he's saying. Let's go through some of this again. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." This is where most people are. I dare say, in the earth, even a lot of Christians, what they can see, what they can feel, what they can understand, that's where they walk. We're not to walk like this. We're to be aware that there is a spiritual realm.
That's right. That's right.
We can't see it. That doesn't make it any less real. There's all kinds of instruments that, you know, I can't measure the speed of light with a ruler. It doesn't mean, just because I have a ruler and say, I don't see light, what? Ruler. Or a thermometer. That doesn't mean it's not real. It just means I have the wrong instrument to measure it. Just because we can't pick up the spiritual realm with physical instruments, there is something that detects it. It's called your spirit. Because your spirit is part of that realm. When you sense the presence of God, that is the detector. Now, people that don't believe will say there's nothing here. We can't measure it with our physical instruments. That doesn't mean anything. You just don't have the capability to measure. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Are you with me? We wouldn't say that. Well, you'd look at me if I said, you know, I can't pick up the temperature outside by my tape measure. I'm looking at it, and I can tell what the walls are, how long they are, and, you know, if, I don't know how tall that is, but I got 25-foot measure. I can do that, you know, and I get out another line if I really need to go long. But I don't know what temperature it is outside. Therefore, I don't think there's weather. I mean, it's there, but you can't measure it, and it may be there, but I don't know. But I can't measure it, and I don't know. So, and you look at me and go, there are things that exist that can measure that. Maybe you should find out about those. Jim, let me show you, maybe if you knew some things about that. That would mean I'm ignorant, right? That doesn't mean I'm stupid. It means I'm ignorant. I don't know certain things, right? This is the way it is with spiritual things. Just because you can't measure spiritual things with a physical device does not mean it's not real. Yet people are all over saying this. We can't see it. We can't prove it. You got the wrong instrument. The Word of God says you have to discern these things by faith.
That's right.
And you're disqualified right off the bat because you don't believe. That's how you discern God. And you can look around and see what He did. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So when we should not walk like people that don't know what the Word says. You start walking like them, and they're walking with the understanding. Notice these phrases: as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind.
Yeah.
They're being mind led. They're not, their spirit's dead. If they don't know God, their spirit's dead. They don't have anything to look to. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened.
Yeah.
Notice that. There is a God of this world. And He, from right at the beginning, when the fall happened, started darkening this world. And men's minds were darkened. People start, generations happen. Where's God? After that, it started darkening. People started walking without God. So much so to where they had God had to send the flood.
Yeah.
And so then we're all descended from Noah. And then God said, I'll never wipe it out again, like with a flood. But the darkening has continued because the enemy's still there. And he weaves theories and reasonings. What God? Who? What is this? This is the way to God. There is no one way to God. That's just somebody's opinion. The Bible, what's the Bible? It's deception. It's darkening. And all of us, to some degree or another, have been affected by that darkening in this world because it's everywhere. This world has fallen. But for the Christian, we've been born again. We are not under the enemy anymore. But our minds, to some degree or another, you had imperfect parents who had imperfect parents who had imperfect parents. And there is a world system, and it still tries to corrupt people's minds. And we talked about this in one of the past weeks, that we do not want to let focus on what the world is putting out because it's corrupted by that darkening.
That's right.
You watch certain movies, you listen to songs, and it's corrupted by that darkening. And you listen to it and you get a view of what they think the world is, but it's corrupted by darkness. And so you start thinking, yeah, I think the way this person thinks, but if they're corrupted by that and it doesn't line up the Word of God, you've just been darkened. So we all came up and we've all had some element of this. And we're dealing with it today. And we're getting rid of it by shining the light of God's word on it and renewing our mind, changing it so that it can see clearly and go over to align with God and his word. That's what's happening right now as the word's going forward. Our eyes are being enlightened to see what really is true. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Notice that. People that don't have Jesus are alienated from the life of God because they won't believe. It's not that God has sent his son Jesus and for every person. But they say, I don't want it. They're alienated from the life of God. You and I, if you're born again, have the life of God. We know God. We just read in Romans. He bears witness that we are the children of God. You can go down the road and you say, I'm a child of God. And you say, I know inside. The Spirit bears witness. And somebody will say, you just had some experience. How do you know? You don't know. I know because the Word of God says it. And he bears witness. I know it. Somebody tell you, well, you don't know. That's just in your head. No, I know it. See, they're trying to tell you something or talk you out of something they haven't experienced.
That's right.
They don't have a live spirit. No, we have to come to God and believe that he is. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance.
Yeah.
Notice it. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They're blind. Ignorant. So we have to be very careful what we let in our lives because it's tainted if it's not based on the Word. I don't care what source it comes from. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's tainted. And we have to, that's why we have to, the more we get in the Word and we understand, the more we can filter what is true and what is not. And even if you don't have knowledge of the Word, something in you, when something is said wrong and doesn't line up with the Word of God, will bother your spirit.
That's right.
You can be born again 5 minutes ago. And if you heard somebody say something and try to pass it off as the Word of God inside of you, now I'm talking about your true spirit. People do get flaky with this stuff and they say, well, my spirit says, and basically what they're saying is, I disagree with you and I'm mad. You know?
Yeah.
But they'll say, no, my spirit's saying it because they haven't understood the difference between their heart and their head. So there is that. But the truth, that your spirit, what I'm saying is, you're not disqualified because you just came into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, a baby Christian, he's at a huge disadvantage. If you get born again and you just don't know anything, you know? I mean, a baby in the natural does need to be taken care of. And if you just got born again, you're young, you do need to be around Christians. You don't need to say, well, I'm strong, I can do whatever. You'll get nailed.
That's right.
Steamrolled.
Yeah.
You wouldn't leave a baby's, you know, a day old and you say, well, I think he's ready and just go and, you know, put him at home and let him cook his own meals. He would be dead. And you would be arrested. You'd be serving time. But we do this. People think, well, I'm strong. I've got a little word in me. I'm ready to take on the world. No, we need to get with strong people with the word. That's why we gather together. People, I don't need it. We get picked off. No, the more we're around this out here, we don't cut ourselves off from the world. We get strong, built up, so we can get in the world and stand. In the face of it, still be strong. And it doesn't sway us. We don't, you know, some people have got an idea, we just cut ourselves off. Well, how are they going to get born again? Who's going to be the light of the world if we shut ourselves off? No, we need to be in the world, but we don't need the world to get into us because we're trying to be cool, because I got to relate. No, you're going to go down.
Right.
Nobody ever goes in and changes everybody else, especially not when you're talking about the whole of pop culture Well, I'm going to get a little bit of it in me so I can go and reach my friends. You're going to go down. You're going to be influenced by it. You will not do the other way around because it's by choice. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, he's saying, don't walk like these, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, notice this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Put off the old man. When you were born again, your body did not get born again. You didn't suddenly become a baby. If you know, whatever color of skin you had before you were born again, same thing. Whatever kind of hair you had, same way. You had blue eyes before, you had blue eyes after. Or blue eyes before, you had blue eyes after. Same thing with your mind. Your mind did not get born again. Thank God. Because you'd be standing there, and you got born again, all of a sudden you don't know who you are. You don't know where anything is. You're like, what? And you're just like an infant. I don't know what happened. We got born again. I what? Because you don't know. No, thank God that didn't happen. Your mind didn't become new. The part of that you became new is on the inside. What we read in Romans. Spirit of God's bearing witness that you're a child of God. Problem is, you look on the outside and go, what? If you're going by sense knowledge, you look at yourself, don't feel new. Have the same thoughts I did before. What's different? Inside. Your spirit is born again. Now, your old man has been programmed in a certain way to act a certain way. It's been programmed and darkened in one way or another. Now, what we need to do is get the Word of God in us so it starts changing our mind so that darkness changes and the blindness comes off and we start walking in light of God's Word. God's Word is called light. It shows up light in our path. It's dark without Him, but all of a sudden you can see what you need to change. You can see what you need to do. He said that you put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or attitude of your mind. Verse 24, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That means something happened on the inside that you can't see. That's a new person on the inside. That has to do with this eternal realm. This stuff is going to be burned up. It's not eternal. The spirit realm is eternal. And something happened there. And something's been deposited with us there. Something's changed. God has endowed us. And what we need to do is start putting on that new man, start learning what the Word of God says, who we are, and start changing our thoughts. When we think, well, this is how I look at this situation. This is how I look at my family. This is how I look at work. This is how I look at my body. We start learning what the Word of God says and start realizing and clearing up how we were thinking and how it differs from the way we're supposed to be thinking. And we start saying, oh, that's not the way I'm supposed to look at my job. It's like this. This is what the Word of God says, and now our mind is shifting. And as we go from place and area to area of our lives, we get that cleaned up. And God will continually put His finger on it. I don't have to preach on certain things. Sometimes the Word of God's going forth, and God's just teaching us. The Holy Spirit's quickening, saying, showing you how to tweak something. That's how we continually just rise up and our minds get renewed and we get closer and closer to the way God wants us to walk. We start becoming more spirit conscious instead of natural conscious. And we go up. Hallelujah. Keep going up. Light. More light. More light this week than last week. Understanding. Things that you saw, you start to see. Oh, I see why that happened 5 years ago. I know what I was doing now. I thought I was doing this, and I thought I was in line with God, but I understand. I see. I wasn't God's fault that was happening. I see what was going on. I see what I was doing, but that's not going to happen any longer because I'm up. And that's where we just keep walking that out. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I think that's good for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We're so thankful that you are our Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made a way for us to be in this family. We're so thankful that we're going up, that our understanding is being enlightened, that we're growing up, that we're stronger. Right now, we're stronger than we were before. And we're going to be stronger next week and stronger the following week. And if Jesus tarries, we're just going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And our families will get stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. Our relationships will get stronger. Thank you, God. We just say we're going up. We're going up. We're going up. We're not looking back. We're not looking back. We're not looking back. That word came forth before in praise and worship. Don't look back. Don't stumble over what's behind you. You're already past it. Don't keep stumbling over it. Go forward. Yeah. Start confessing that you're going up. Yeah. That's not going to knock me down anymore. I'm past that. I'm going up with the Lord. He's bringing me up. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. My mind's being enlightened. I see. Don't say I don't ever make the right decision. No, you say I'm seeing clearly. Yeah. I make good decisions. Yeah. Getting better every day. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Start speaking in line with His Word. Start speaking in line with what He's told you.
Right.
Don't speak in line with the circumstances that you're seeing. Those are subject to change.
Right.
Just keep speaking the Word. Just keep speaking the Word. Just keep speaking the Word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God.